It's time for Appraise This. And Appraise This, of course, is from the good guys, the Freakin' Frack of Nick and Knack, Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. You'll find them on the web at tqag.com. And I have only been able to reach one, and that is Greg Schramm this morning. Greg, is Tim available or unavailable?
Good morning. Well, he was going to try to be available. He's in the car. He's on his way. He might actually be on the train. He has an appraisal down in Miami. So they have this new thing down here called the Bright Line, which is a high-speed train that goes – it'll eventually go up to Orlando and beyond. But right now it is between West Palm Beach and Miami. So he decided, why fight the traffic on I-95? And he decided to take the train. So he's giving it his first chance. He's taking the opportunity to be the guinea pig so that he can find out whether or not this is truly something that is going to be a boon or a bust.
Well, internet-wise, I think it's a bust because he's not reachable. So.
Yeah. So, well, the thing is, if he's on the train, they're supposedly supposed to have high speed and internet access. So it's possible he might not be on the train yet, and he might be between hither and yon, as they say.
All right.
But it's interesting that this whole Bright Line controversy. They've had a rough start. It's been maybe 3 or 4 months since it started, and they're having their difficulties. But if they work out all the kinks, I think it's going to be a good thing, and it'll. I know it'll keep at least two cars off of I-95. It'll be ours because we'll use it. And I'll be honest with you, there are some wonderful things to see in Miami, but the problem getting there is what is keeping us from going. So if we can just jump on the train, go to Miami, do
how
what
long
we
does
need
it
to
take?
Do, jump on the train and come back, it would be great. I mean, really be great. So, I hope.
What's the estimated length for you to get to Miami on the train?
It will take just a little under 2 hours, and it goes from West Palm to, it doesn't stop at every station, it goes from West Palm to Fort Lauderdale to Miami. So, and it's kind of like flying first class, because you when you book your seat, you can get wide seats, you can get your own table with, you know, so you can do internet stuff, and there's a lounge. So, you know, being a pioneer is hard, but somebody's got to do it.
Well, we wish him luck with whatever he's doing today. So what's on the agenda for us to talk about?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, you sound a little hoarse today, Marshall.
It's day number 4 of a cold. And I'll be honest with you, I really thought I was out of it yesterday afternoon. I was feeling very, very good. And I got up this morning, and I think this must be the last punch of it, because I feel the worst today that I've felt any of the days so far. And
well, why don't you keep talking?
Feel better.
but it's one of those things where the show must go on.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you make it worse.
I'll tell you, I want to thank you, Jill, because of the articles that you always send, really good articles. And this one, it's fated that we talk about it this morning, because we were with a group of colleagues this past week at a party, and we were talking about the piece of art in question, which is the Franz Hal painting, the portrait of a gentleman, the old master. And lo and behold, I come home, and in my mailbox email box is your article. So I had to read through it, and I was absolutely, it was captivating. I just could not get, I couldn't stop reading it, and I've read it at least two or three times since
then. So explain to people who don't know what that is, why it's so fascinating.
Well, the painting, we've talked at length in the past about forgeries, and there have been books written about it, and people have actually had careers started from being, shall we say, the forensic art detectives. And this particular painting is a portrait of a gentleman, and it was painted in 1531, I think. And in all appearances, it looks like it was an original painting of a Dutch person, a Dutch gentleman. And turns out, apparently, that it is a masterful forgery that sold for, I want to say 40, I can't remember right now. I'm so...
Say lots of money. Just say lots and lots of money.
Yeah, I want to say it was something like $48 million or something like that. I'll have to... Don't quote me on that. I have to double check. But it turns out that it was so good that they're not really sure that it is a forgery. So that raised the question to me, well... If it is so perfect, what's the difference between that and having the original? And apparently, as I was reading through the article, that was one of the art critics' questions as well. Is, well, what would be the difference between having something, a painting that was so perfect that you thought it was real, and it looks real, and so
you're going to be really upset with the next thing I'm about to say, but hanging in many museums.
I know I'm going to get myself in trouble here, but it raises an interesting question.
It's not that. No. It's just hanging in many museums are paintings that are replicas, if you will, and the originals are hanging on other people's walls. And that's that. You know, no one obviously that's a part of the that's a part of life that not a lot of people spend a lot of time on. But if you are going to, then you need to know how it works, and that is pretty much how it works. And
it's an amazing process. This whole forensic process, and I thought, oh well, why don't they just take paint and go and test it for age? Well, they can do that and find out that this particular paint wasn't made before a certain year. But it begs even a bigger question, is how much art is in museums and in people's collections is that you're looking at is really real? It begs the question, is the Mona Lisa real? Is it really real?
Well, yeah.
I mean, they're so good at it that you wonder, and it boggles my mind. Now, every time I go into a museum where they have an exhibition of, let's say, old masters, which when you go in, you think, I think I'm going to see some wonderful old masters. And you go in and you think, I wonder if it's real or if it's Memorex.
Well,
and that's really kind of disheartening.
Yeah, but on the other hand, the whole thing in that particular business is, yes, it's true. But what you have to, this is going to sound like a strange concept, but you have to actually train your eye. And the only way to train your eye is by looking at lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of representations of that particular artist. And there are lots of artists. And as you do that, you will begin to, first you develop a baseline, then you develop your own sense, and then your instincts start to kick in. You know, there's something not quite right there. I can't put my finger on it. And that's where it becomes interesting, because once you've got the base and the experience of knowing, and you've seen a zillion of them, then you can start playing the game that you're playing. It's like, okay, how many of these are fakes? Or you can find yourself a nice, you know, a nice professional underworld type.
Here's a question that I have about this. It's, you know, okay, so I save up my money and I take my first trip to Paris and I go to the Louvre because I want to see great art, great paintings.
Yeah.
And you go and you have to wonder, well,
no,
what's
you don't.
Real? And what's fake?
By and large, you don't.
But you cannot. But this is the question. You can't. And I use the Mona Lisa specifically because of the painting of the other Leonardo, which is considered to be, I guess, the male version of the Mona Lisa, which is the portrait of Christ with getting ready to give a blessing. And which has just recently come to light and sold twice within a year for an amazing amount of money, but it's colored. They still cannot prove 100% that it's real.
Have you ever seen? By the way, there is a TV show. I don't know which public television network. It is a British show. It's called Fake or Fortune.
No, I haven't.
Okay, that's a lot of fun, because what they do is someday somebody will put it on TV here and do it American style. But what they do is, you know,
joy, oh rapture.
Right, exactly. But they take a piece of artwork and that they try and figure out whether it's real or not. You know, someone walks in, my uncle left me, this was passed down, it's supposedly a such and such, but there's no indication it is a such and such. And it's fascinating, and you might actually enjoy it, because it shows you all of the other things, you know how you can create. It works both ways, but it really crystallizes the very thing that you're talking about. And by the time you're done with it, you get an idea of how many of the things really have been rigorously tested, how many not. And just for the record, the replacement jobs, quote, that I was referring to are when an artwork has been stolen, because, as you know, there's a huge, huge, huge underworld.
Yes.
That's, and better to leave a replacement than an empty frame.
Well, yes, you know, that has some merit, I guess, if you're a forger or an art thief. But it's really this was quite an enlightening article, and I would encourage everyone to read the article.
So we're going to have to say what the article is. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'd best... the article is called...
Yeah, I'm going to post it on our website.
Okay. It's from The Guardian, and it is called...
How to Spot a Perfect Fake, the World's Top Art Forgery Detective. And this guy, you know, he was the... I guess you might say he was the accidental... He came about this totally by accident, and he's become the world's foremost art detective, and he has a career. I mean, I don't think he ever has a day off, this poor guy. You know, all of the major art dealers, the art collectors, the major auction companies, they're all after him to, you know, they have a sale coming up. And these, by the way, an auction, people think, okay, so today's an auction. So, okay, so maybe 6 months ago, we started to put the auction together. Well, now with art, these big art pieces, sometimes it's 2 to 3 years before they have, because they have to start doing the forensics ahead of time, because Sotheby's, for example, has a 5-year guarantee that if within those 5 years after you purchase an item or purchase a piece of art, you discover that it is a forgery, you will get your money back, and then they will go after the person who sold it. And that did indeed happen at Sotheby's, and it's happened at Christie's as well. So, I mean, it's not as easy as like, oh, you know what? I have these wonderful pieces of art from this private collection, and we're going to put them all up in a year. Well, what goes behind guaranteeing this sale as being authentic is a little bit more than a year. You have all of these pieces are vetted very carefully, and even to the point where sometimes they have to take a little fleck of paint and put it under an electronic microscope and then they do their magic to find out whether or not the materials are real, that they were used during that time, and yes, the canvas. And these people who forge, what they do to come up with the canvas, and it just boggles my mind. If all of this evil was used for good, can you imagine what a wonderful world we would have? Right. That's what I have to say about this.
All right, and that's a great place to end. We hope that Tim's making it to Miami on the train.
Yes, I will let you know. I will definitely, next week, he will be back. And you know what? Will he be back? Yes, he will. He will be back. He goes on Thursday, or tomorrow he leaves for Las Vegas, and he'll be there for the Julian's auction for the weekend, Jerry Lewis auction, and we'll talk about that next week.
All right.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Have a great week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I praise this, Tim Luke and actually Greg, just starring Greg Stroud this weekend here on Robin Hood Radio, TQAG.com on the web.